an electronic application, or you can come down here and check it out yourself. Another thing, up on the wall here, donate a defunct vehicle, unused, unworkable vehicles of all sorts, 877-41-DONATE. They can schedule a convenient time to pick up your vehicle, and you can help WEF stay on the air. They can get a lot of parts off of it. Probably not what we would get for it, but anyway. Opinions are those of the speakers, not necessarily shared by others at the station. And it's time now to kick off the Labor Hour.
Hello, folks. Welcome to another edition of the World Labor Hour, brought to you on the air by listener-supported community station WEFT, broadcasting at 90.1 FM from downtown Champaign, Illinois, and webcasting live worldwide at WEFT.org. Views and opinions expressed here are those of speakers and do not necessarily represent those of WFT station manager, board of directors, or of Prairie Air Incorporated. Now, here's Bob with some of our underwriting announcements.
Thanks, Dave. The Illinois World Labor Hour is supported in part by the listeners of WEFT and by the AFL-CIO of Champaign County. The AFL-CIO represents more than 7,000 workers in Champaign County and more than 13 million workers nationwide. Recognizing that strong workers build strong communities, the AFL-CIO is proud to support community radio in East Central Illinois. And also, this hour programming is brought to you in part by Central Illinois Jobs with Justice, a coalition of union and community groups working for economic justice and workers' rights. Central Illinois Jobs with Justice holds regular meetings on the third Saturday of every month. For more information or for the unemployed and underemployed helpline, give them a call at 217-328-2295.
Okay, thank you, Bob. And let's see here. You've got some news stories, and we're going to just do one news story. We have Carol Ammons in the studio. Bob's going to talk about this news story he has for us real quick, and then we're going to go right to our interview with Democratic candidate for State Representative Carol Ammons.
Yeah, Dave, activists want a coordinated wage boost in Washington, D.C. and in nearby counties. In December, lawmakers in Washington, D.C. and two neighboring Maryland counties voted to raise the minimum wage to $11.50 an hour in all three jurisdictions. It was a regional cooperation unprecedented in this country. Too often, minimum wage increases are defeated when opponents argue that businesses will flee across city or state lines. In short, December saw the biggest wins in recent memory for workers in the D.C. metro area. The bills moved through quickly, and the groundwork for the victory had been laid long before through fights that they had lost. If you recall, last year, the Washington, D.C. mayor vetoed last year's effort to force big box retailers like Walmart to pay a living wage. Organizers responded by thinking bigger, not smaller. They set their sights on a citywide minimum wage, then they flipped the opposition's message so the momentum from the lost campaign would work in their favor. They jumped on a pitch to they jumped on a chance to pitch their umbrella wider, joining forces with groups that have been pushing for paid sick days in D.C. and for minimum wage boosts in the nearby Maryland counties. And they did a lot of different things. They used coordinated call-in days, using a web service. They had constituents sign up to call in at a designated time. They signed up for a texting service, and they generated thousands of calls. And they coordinated their testimony during hearings and stuff. So they did a lot of things to kind of coordinate this amongst different counties and cities to raise the minimum wage in an entire region.
Right? Okay.
In just one location.
Well, that's some good news.
Excellent.
Okay, we're going to take a quick music break and be right back with Carol Ammons. So stay tuned. You listen to the World Labor Hour on WFT Radio, broadcasting from Champaign, Illinois, 90.1 FM, and webcast live worldwide at WFT.org. So stay tuned.
That has no clue
what's
inside fighting between the red and the blue. Political corruption, sex scandals out of control. The people are tired and can't wage it past their votes. The people want to change. Tired of the same old thing. They can't wait for the polls to open. Down with the status quo. Country going through recession, jobs are on the line. Kids can't afford college, the bills are so far behind. She's got a head like on us. Gas is on the rise. Can't afford to use my dollar. It's like the people want to change. Tired of the same old thing. They can't wait for the cold to open. Down with the status quo.
Okay, we're back, and pleasure to have Democratic candidate Carol Ammons for the 103rd state rep race. Carol, welcome to the World Labor Hour.
Thank you so much, Dave, for having me here.
Okay, now, do you think a lot of people out there kind of have the same sentiment as this last song, People Want to Change?
I was enjoying it. That okay. May be my theme music.
Okay. Yes, indeed. So let's just start out with the usual generic question. What made you decide to take all your time, energy, and run for this
I think the song
office?
The song actually speaks to that for me. People really want to have independent representation. They want regular people that understands many of the issues that they're experiencing to go and start setting policies that are in the best interest of everybody else in the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I've found as I've been campaigning. People have talked to me about everything from senior citizens and Alzheimer's services that have been cut in our state to job and opportunities that they seem to keep missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people want someone who understands that and will go and not just think about business and roads and transportation needs, but we'll think about housing and food and clothing needs as well.
Okay. And, of course, you have some experience in government. You have, it was like 5 years on the county board, and then you've been on the Urbana City Council now for how long?
Since April of this year.
Okay.
The election was in April, and county board was more 4 years, 8 months.
Okay. All right. Yeah, let's be real specific.
That's right, because, you know, somebody else will say, it wasn't 5 years. It was yes. 4 years and 8 months, so okay. We'll make sure that's clear.
Okay. I want the listeners to know that we also have a special co-host here today, Richard Reynolds. He's a member of the local electricians union, IBEW. What's the local number, Richard?
Local 601 in
601,
Champaign,
that's
Illinois.
Right. I knew that. I just couldn't remember real quick. But thanks for coming in and kind of, you know, wanting to help me out here as far as some good questions for Carol. So let's start. What do you have off the top of your head?
You bet. It's thanks for having me on, David. You went, I heard that you went before the building trades the other day. How did that go?
I had a really great time with the building trades members, their business agents and representatives a couple days back this past week. And I had to go there to dispel a few myths that they had about me. I know people are on the other side are hoping that negative campaign and slander will win the victory for them. But once I talk to people, they say, oh, well, that makes sense. And so a couple of those issues that I needed to address right away is, yes, as a single mother, some almost 17 years ago, I completed my degree through what I consider a correspondence course, online services at that time, that like many others that I've seen in the news lately, come to find out that those places are not necessarily accredited. And I knew that one wasn't accredited in the United mm-hmm. States, but their accreditation was an international accreditation
mm-hmm.
that has been called to question. I don't think that diminishes at not one bit my ability to serve and what I've done as a result, of course, some 21 years later.
Mm-hmm.
As another thing that was brought up was that I wanted to go to Springfield and take away the gun rights of the citizens of our district, which is furthest from the truth. My experience around these issues, I do want sensible gun policy that protects all of our citizens. But at the same time, we don't want to put barriers in front of ownership. And that's something that when I shared with them that I personally own a FOID card.
Mm-hmm.
I've personally been trained by my grandfather, who was an arms instructor mm-hmm. at Stateville when I was young.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them said, oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about you. Although I am certainly a staunch Democrat,
mm-hmm.
I stand for the principles and the progressive issues that are important to the community. I do agree that people have the right to bear arms. They should have that right, and we should not impinge upon that right, but we have to be sensible in the application.
Sure.
That's the only difference, and many of them understood completely.
Mm-hmm.
One asked me, would I support an effort to change the requirement of FOIA cards? And I said I couldn't support that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the process of attaining licensing through the FOIA card process is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It protects the interests of the person who's applying, looking out for their interests. But we have to have some kind of background check. We've seen people unfortunately do things with guns that they really should not be doing. Harming other people is not a justification.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I said that, many of them also agreed with me
mm-hmm.
that the FOIA process is a good process and we should keep it in place.
Okay. Now, is I guess that kind of begs the question here is they had these misinformed ideas about you. What's the source, do you think, of those misinformed ideas?
It is a campaign, Dave.
Okay.
And the source can be none other than the other side, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Clearly, I am not promoting any of the things that have been suggested by me.
Mm-hmm.
But I am a regular working person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't come from big money,
mm-hmm.
and I don't have a lot of wealth
mm-hmm.
that I can put in the bank and say, hey, my wealth is what qualifies me for this position.
Mm-hmm.
I have just the opposite. I have the hard work, the dedication and the experience to this community, not another community,
mm-hmm.
but in this community that actually qualifies me for this position.
Yes. Now, you know, speaking about backgrounds here, your opponent, he hasn't lived in Champaign-Urbana for very many years, from what I understand. He's originally from Chicago. He's an attorney. He's, in fact, in the past, he worked for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office in Chicago, as well as Mayor Richard Daley's office, which is currently being held, of course, by Rahm Emanuel. I think did some work, if I'm not mistaken, for Carl Clinic a while back, which is one of the, I think it's the second largest employer here in Champaign-Urbana, basically defending them from paying their fair share of property taxes to the city of Urbana. Is that correct?
Well, that's a really difficult position for the city of Urbana, where I currently sit as the alderwoman for Ward 3,
mm-hmm.
where Carl Hospital is located in my district. That work has brought in a question. A person called me recently and said, tell me exactly how your opponent, who works for the firm who's protecting Carl Hospital from being able to pay their fair share in taxes, how exactly are they going to represent the whole district when he's advocating or his firm is advocating that they don't pay their fair share?
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's a good question for the voters to ask.
Yes.
If half of the district is being sued for property taxes, how could you represent them in Springfield and get a fair and equitable outcome for Carl Hospital?
And then on top of that, your opponent at the debate a couple weeks ago, which I was there and saw, as well as Richard, that your opponent advocating cutting the corporate income tax rate in Illinois by half, and he opposes a $15 an hour minimum wage. So, I mean, this begs the question is, who's he going to represent if he gets elected?
I'm not sure, but Representative Mary Flowers, who introduced back in November, early November, she introduced legislation to raise the minimum wage to $15. We believe it can be done. Small businesses may need support.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the small businesses in our community, like many of them that I frequent, may need support through something like the SBA or one of the agencies that can support the development and support the sustainability of small businesses. But the larger businesses who are raking in millions and millions of dollars in profit, they can certainly afford to pay the $15.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Mary Flowers, Northern Representative Mary Flowers, who introduced this bill and now is in the Rules Committee, has a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
I also put out yesterday during our debate at the City of Champaign, I put out my own proposal because I believe that I don't want to hurt our small businesses locally, but I don't believe there's any real evidence that all of a sudden firms are going to just pack up and move away out of
Illinois.
You're
talking about large corporations.
Yeah. Large corporations. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not that easy to move a large corporation. So, you know, the scare tactics that's being used on the other side is what's kept the wages so suppressed
mm-hmm.
since the 60s. And we need to do something about it. And it should be an immediate crisis because one way or the other, we're going to pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So say the person who's working at McDonald's that we went and stood in solidarity with in December, that person who's making $8 or something an hour at McDonald's, they have to make up the other dollars somewhere because they need food. They still need housing. And many of the programs in this community are supplementing them, meaning they're still having to get TANF, right, mm-hmm. for needy families. They're still having to get a link card, mm-hmm. and they also need subsidies for rental assistance. Mm-hmm. But if you go to the regional planning office just at Brookings and step in there one day, what you'll find is they also need help with energy every 6 months.
With the power bills, yes.
Power bills. So when you're living on $8.25 an hour, the reality is the cost of energy, like this year, went up. And they can't afford to pay as the basic need as an electricity bill.
So in essence, taxpayers are subsidizing a lot
of
these large corporations.
We are already doing this.
Yes. Yes. Richard?
Yeah, I don't understand. You hear a lot from the other side about cutting welfare, cutting food stamps, mm-hmm. gutting programs that help average Americans, but then they turn around and oppose raising the minimum wage. Well, if you want to get people off of assistance, you have to pay them an hourly rate that allows them to get off of that assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol's exactly right. We're subsidizing corporations right now. Let's subsidize people.
Okay, that's a good point. You know, Carol, I'll tell you what, over the years, a lot of people out there have kind of become a little disillusioned with the Democratic Party in general. I mean, not just locally, but nationwide. They feel like that they've become, in a lot of ways, no better than Republicans as far as protecting corporate interests. And from a distance, it seems like I haven't seen as much excitement around a person running as a Democratic candidate here locally in a long, long time. I think, you know, you correct me otherwise, but I think a lot of it has to be, one, you're working class yourself, and two, because of that, you know, you've experienced a lot of these issues that normal working people struggle with on a daily basis. You also want to let the listeners know, for those, especially those living outside Champaign-Urbana, Carol's got a long track record here of activism in the community, social justice activism, and there's been more often than not that you've taken on the local police, state's attorneys, and some other powers that be. And yeah. I think that's a good thing. Some people try to use that against you.
Well, certainly they are a formidable foe.
Yeah.
But it does require people that are willing to step forward and say, it's not really about the personality. It's mm-hmm. not the person who's in the seat. It's the policies that continue to be passed from those positions that harm the community at large. Anytime we would rather spend $38,000 a year to lock up a person for possession because they did it three times, or they stole something at 17, and this is real. They stole a car on a joyride at 17, so they got probation. And then the next thing, they stole something from a store. And then the third time, they got possession of marijuana. And they may go to prison the third time. Because judges don't have discretion to make a decision based on the charge. That is fundamentally a problem in the criminal justice system. Mm-hmm. And we see it played out every single day in our community. And then you turn around and say, well, a lot of people go to prison just for possession, mm-hmm. distribution. We have to look at our drug laws,
mm-hmm.
and we have to change them. This is the time of reform. And I think people are excited about this race because I am a regular person. I have lost a home before. I have been unemployed. I have been a hard worker and working for nonprofit organizations. I have managed large grants. I have worked with creating policy to repair roads. All of that together creates a person who can go and say, well, maybe this is not you can't have my vote when it comes down to cutting corporate taxes in half. Mm-hmm. That vote I cannot cast in favor of the corporations.
Mm-hmm.
I can cast a vote in favor of building the roads that corporations need to make sure that they can get their products in and out of our state.
Mm-hmm.
I can cast that vote.
Yes.
But the other side, I really can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is what makes people say, maybe she's a person that we need to send. Maybe we should just send a regular person nowadays. You know, they don't have to be a millionaire, and they don't have to live at the top of the city to make that happen.
Okay, Richard?
Well, and as a blue-collar guy, that's something that we talk about often, is how one of the problems is that we just don't have regular people to represent us. And here we have a regular person, and then we have the Democratic machine doing everything they can to keep her down.
Very good point. You beat me to the punch on that one, Richard.
I as a building trades guy, and I'm a proud union member, but I'm a little disgusted at that my building trades unions would endorse the other candidate without even speaking with Carol.
Mm-hmm. And the membership didn't get a chance to see Carol or her opponent at their membership meeting, did they?
You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. There is a problem with our endorsement process. A lot of times it's done on a wink and a nod,
mm-hmm.
and isn't necessarily what's best for labor.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I did make an effort.
I remember that, yes.
try and make it more democratic and mm-hmm, try and make mm-hmm. it to where the members had some involvement, and I was met with great resistance.
Yes.
Thrown off the AFL-CIO Central Committee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we have a new group in there now.
Yes.
And there were a lot of side issues at play during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to work again and try and get some sort of a fair process where at least they get to hear from both candidates.
Mm-hmm.
I was told off the record by one of our labor leaders that, well, we were told this, this, and this about Carol. Oh, really? Well, none of those things rain true. Where mm-hmm. did you hear those from? Well, you know, I heard them from, her opponent.
Yeah.
Well, how about you actually speak to the candidates themselves?
Or look at the public record.
Or look at the public record. Mm-hmm. We have a guy here who claims to be a labor guy, but look at his endorsers. He's endorsed by a woman who wants to build more jails and lock more people up.
Mm-hmm.
He's endorsed by several people who were on the county board who voted against the living wage,
mm-hmm.
who blamed the AFSCME workers at the union home or at the nursing home when it got in trouble financially. Mm-hmm. They voted to lay off 27 union workers instead of replace an administrator who stood there in front of the county board and admitted, well, I just haven't been billing for these things and I've been keeping the nursing home empty on purpose. So how can this guy claim to be a labor guy
mm-hmm.
when he's supported by people who really are not labor people? What does labor guy mean to him?
Yes. You know, it's amazing, too, the amount of effort I've seen coming out of Springfield and Chicago from the state Democratic Party special interests. Mike Madigan, who's connected to Rahm Emanuel in Chicago. How much effort they've been spending time and money to try to keep you from getting elected, Carol. I mean, recently Mike Madigan sent a staffer over here from Springfield, plus donated money. I think it was like close to $5,000 for mailers and other stuff. I've never seen this happen before in a Democratic primary. What do you think's going on?
Well, I can tell you, I've never seen it either. Since I've been here and I've worked on many of the campaigns of people who are supporting my opponent. And prior to that point, I had not ever met this young man. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's a great guy.
Yeah.
But I had never met him at any of our Democratic functions. I've been quite involved in this community. And so I think the message to the people of the 103rd is that there's something about this young lady that the people with the power in Springfield absolutely don't want.
You make them a little nervous, I think, Carol.
So I think that should be certainly heard mm-hmm. in when people get ready to go vote. Just make a decision about if you want a candidate who's truly independent, which is why the independent voters of Illinois said she's our candidate,
mm-hmm.
regardless to all of the things that people have tried to say. The independent voter said, we actually need someone who is an independent thinker, who has stood up to the power structure in her local community, who's passed policies in the interests of the whole. That's the person that we want. We don't want the person who's backed by the machine. And in this case, there is a question about that. Why we want a person whose vote, unfortunately, the News Gazette.
A local newspaper.
Yeah, a local newspaper. But they did highlight something very important, I think, is my opponent's comment about, the speaker is just a regular Democrat. I wholly disagree with that. He's certainly one of the most powerful people in Springfield. And I'm certain his help comes with some requirement
mm-hmm.
Because that is how politics works. But we do have to make sure that we don't allow outside interests to choose our state representative, and that's the reason why I'm running. I'm working hard, and I have volunteers who are going out because they believe in me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the money to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
They are doing this because they truly believe in my candidacy, and they are going and talking to their neighbors, and they're sharing my message. I think that's the important part about this race.
Indeed.
That's the exciting part about the race.
And it's also interesting how you were endorsed by the Service Employees International Union here locally, as well as the Illinois Federation of Teachers.
Yes.
And this is what's interesting. You were endorsed by the local AFL-CIO, but your opponent was endorsed by the state AFL-CIO. And I just want to mention this to the listeners because I personally have had experience with this back in the late 90s when I was the vice president of our local central AFL-CIO. We had a candidate who used to be the mayor of Urbana that wanted to run for state rep, and we refused to endorse him because of his policies of basically opposing a living wage ordinance in the city of Urbana and hiring an infamous national law firm, union-busting law firm, Safer Shaw, when the firefighters were trying to get a new contract. And there's no way we could endorse a person like this, but the state AFL-CIO still endorsed him. But I guess what I'm kind of leading up to here is when you went to meet with the building trades the other day, you brought some facts to them about your past, if you will, as far as what you've done for unions and especially the building trades. Could you just name some of those that you mentioned to them?
Yeah, it was important for them to look at my record. So one of my volunteers drew that record out on a huge piece of drawing paper, like construction paper. And I took that with me so that they could see the long laundry list of building projects that I've voted affirmatively on since I was on a county board and since I've joined the city council. Some of those projects, my first vote, one of my first votes was the remodeling of the courthouse. 2007, when I got to the county board, of course, that project was already underway. But of course, you have to have enough people to vote for that in order for it to move forward. My vote was one of those votes to make sure that that courthouse was remodeled. That was a critical vote, a critical turning point. But since that point, I've also voted on repairs at the Juvenile Detention Center. I also voted on repairs at the downtown, meaning we did the HVAC system. We've done the plumbing. We've done tuck pointing. All of these are projects that I've voted on in the last 4 years. I've also voted on our Elias contract so that we didn't tear down the old nursing home, but we could reuse it. And it is currently being used, and it's a very nice building, and I think we can do some other things with it in the future. All of these projects have gone over $60 million of work that has been done in Champaign County. So the idea that I am in some way would stop workers from working or electricians or plumbers or pipe fitters from working, that is just, again, check the record.
Yeah, and these were all union jobs, too.
These were all union jobs because we have a, of course, I'm fighting on the county board all the time to make sure that our contracts are local. And so when I was on that county board, my goal was to make sure that the projects were local, that local people got a chance to work, and that you didn't get these folks from outside. That was sometimes a battle as well. Sometimes that was not, everybody didn't say, oh yes, Carol, that's exactly the way we should go. We had to sometimes fight for that. So the misnomers, right, the misgivings that were put out, once they saw the list and they passed it around in the meeting, That was the point that said, maybe we didn't get all the information.
Maybe we were bamboozled a bit.
And that's important for people to hear from the candidate. I think what Richard's just said is, okay, listen, before you start talking about endorsing people, there has to be an open and fair process. Set it up so that, like all the other people that sent me all of these questions, I got questionnaires. This was so educational. I got questionnaires from motorcycle clubs. Things I may never have worked on, but then when I start looking at their issues, what's important to them, it becomes very clear that the representation is broader than most people will even understand. But it's important for them to know where you stand and that the process is open and fair.
Yes.
And that's what I believe is necessary in some of these things, even though the AFL-CIO locally wanted to support and endorse me. There were other people outside that decided to do otherwise, which is absolutely fine. But I am on record standing with the unions. I have fought with AFSCME, not sending them a letter or, you know, simply from the county board floor. I would stand in solidarity with them when they were doing their demonstrations at the county board and represent their issues
and your
when they came inside.
And your husband's a union member, SCIU. He's a union steward, if I remember correctly.
Yes, he is. He is. He's currently the elect president-elect.
Well.
He just got elected last
Saturday.
Yes, for SCIU here in Champaign-Urbana. Something I also wanted to point out about that is my husband, although he is a very active member of SCIU, he did not secure for me the endorsement of SEIU. I went to Chicago to their member body and spoke to probably 200 members of SEIU about the importance of the work that I had been doing. They took a vote. The membership took a vote, not Aaron, the membership. And they voted unanimously to support me based on my record of service to them.
And I remember correctly, this was before Aaron was elected.
This is before, yes, this was before he was elected president.
Okay, I want to get that fact straight. So, Carol, I know you're on a real tight schedule today, and I'm really glad you came in. Richard, I'd like you to be able to ask maybe one more question, and Carol, some final words.
Actually, just I wanted to touch on something for the listeners that Carol brought up earlier, which is her record. My first experience was with Carol was at a county board meeting where they were looking at accepting bids for the courthouse expansion.
Mm-hmm.
There were several people on the county board at that time who had for years been endorsed by building trades. These are the same people who now endorse her opponent. I had never heard of Carol before, and her first question was, excuse me, are these union contractors and are they local contractors? Our supposed friends who had been endorsed, one of them stood up and very angrily responded, it doesn't matter if they're union or not. We have to pay prevailing wage and the unions can't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, number one, that's incorrect.
Yes.
But number two, here was a person who was standing up for working people without being paid to do so. This was just her belief. You can't buy representation like that.
Yeah. Working people can't anyway.
Working people, right, people can't.
So, Carol, last words?
Well, first and foremost, I appreciate you having me on the show today on the World Labor Hour. I appreciate all the work that you've done around the issues for working class people. This is really the critical moment for us. We have just about 4 weeks left to go. And in that time, I want the listeners to understand that the only game in town that my opponent has is the mudslinging and negative assaults. Because my record is very clear on where I stand for working people, where I stand for job creation. I've met with some of the now retired building trades executives and business agents attempting to not only get them work, but attempting to open up the apprenticeship programs to allow more people to be in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is not something I just started doing. I was already doing these things. But my service in the community, from the soup kitchens that I started when I first touched bases here, to volunteering at the University YMCA for 4 years in a row while my son was small, helping with the dump and run, helping students move in and out of this community, and recycling these very needed products to low-income families right here in Champaign. Urbana. I've been doing that from the very beginning, and I'll continue to do that because that's really where my heart is. The direction that I'd like to go in the next few weeks is to get more people on the ground, to get more excitement about this campaign, and to get more people to see that a regular person can go and actually be the representation of the people of the 103rd District. Not the representation for the big corporations. I believe they have enough money to buy lobbyists, and we don't.
Yes.
We really have to have average citizen participation at the state level, and this is our opportunity to do it.
Carol, thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you so much for having me, Dave. I really enjoyed my time here with you all.
Okay, well, thank you. You're listening to the World Labor Hour on Listener Supported Community Radio Station WFT in Champaign, Illinois. We're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to be back with Richard Reynolds and Bob Polesny to maybe do a little follow-up discussion, so stay tuned.
Highway robbery, corporate thugs pulled a heist on the economy. They shooting Thai criminals. For you and I, the proportions are biblical. Stole our dreams and sold us a nightmare. The gloves are off, but they don't want to fight fair. Pay your fair share. We won't budge. They occupied Boston with tents in the mud. We want jobs now, not a senator with a bobblehead like Scott Brown. And what's up with Robert Gallery? Cradles to crayons to evict in a family? There's a movement erupting, millions of people empowered to do something. This ain't about race, you must be crazy. It's black, brown, yellow, and white, 8 to 80. We the people, unified people, strength in numbers, we're gonna leave you banks. Frozen, yeah. Make the people, organize people, strength in numbers, we're gonna leave you banks. Frozen, yeah. Give a mouse a cookie, he want a glass of milk. Republicans and Democrats pass the guilt. We're indivisible as one nation. Protest vigil where you fundraise. You hold office, we holding you accountable. And this is what democracy looks like, doubting you. We on the ground, snow dry or wet cement, to keep families in their homes except the rent. Principal reduction, plus stop no fault evictions, political destruction, city life. Vita Urbana, the three-legged stool, the sword, the shield, and the offer. Rebellions on the blocks of Boston. Bank tickets, now they stocks are dropping. Terminate the cash flow, they'll think rational. Mass action, non-violent radical. We the people, unified people, strength in numbers, we're gonna leave you banks. Frozen, yeah. We the people, organize people, strength in numbers, we're gonna leave you banks. Frozen,
okay, we're back. You're listening to the World Labor Hour and listener-supported community radio station, WFT, broadcasting from Champaign, Illinois, 90.1 FM, and webcasting live worldwide at weft.org. Okay, so we're back here with Richard Reynolds, IBEW member, and co-host Bob Pelesny. I guess maybe let's start with Bob. You didn't get a chance to get any 2 cents worth. And what's been kind of your – have you been following this in the local media as far as Carroll's campaign?
Not as much as you, Dave.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, anything you'd like to mention there?
I do know there's been a lot of, rumors. And, even on like WDWS, you hear people calling in with comments about the whole degree issue and stuff like that. So you have to think that maybe there are some kind of smear tactics out there being used,
Yeah, and just to clarify, I mean, let's put this in context. Carol was like in her early 20s at the time. This is 1997, okay? Internet was around, but it wasn't as prevalent as it is now. I mean, in other words, especially working people, not many working people in 1997 had the internet yet. So it wasn't like it was really easy to Google this particular correspondence school accreditation, whether or not they were accredited or not and everything. And really, what's ironic here is Carol's a victim. I mean, it wasn't like she knowingly went and bought a degree. I mean, she signed up and she, this was a correspondence school that gave credit for past work experience plus her junior college, community college credits. And then she did correspondence courses, and she's got, her transcripts, her degree. And again, she was a victim here. She wasn't, a villain, if you will. So I think that they're just trying to make a mountain out of a molehill. I mean, they have nothing else to go on, so they got to grasp for some, trivial issue like this.
I know somebody who's getting a degree from Eastern Illinois University, and they gave them a lot of credit for life experiences. Mm-hmm. Exactly the same thing that this university in
which
London
is based in the UK, yes.
Right, mm-hmm. So it's, I don't know why Eastern Illinois University can seem to get away with it, but somebody else can't.
Well, there you go. And I'm gonna say this. I mean, I was kind of reluctant to say this, but you know what? This smacks of elitism. I mean, just because Carol couldn't afford to get a degree from Harvard, Yale, or the U of I, this is a lot of it. I mean, it really is. Richard, your thoughts?
I was going to say the same thing.
Okay,
it's ridiculous that my degree is better than your degree, so I'm the candidate for Springfield.
Yeah.
Just because your mommy and daddy can afford to send you to a good college doesn't make you a good representative of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Carol was a single mom doing the best that she could do. And the fact is, to my knowledge, you don't have to have a college degree to represent in Springfield.
You don't.
To me, the issue is irrelevant.
Yes.
It's mudslinging.
Yes.
And it's elitism.
And we've been seeing, Richard, you've been following, and Bob, you've been following politics now statewide, you know, nationwide for quite a while. And I mean, this has been this trend. I mean, it seems like we've been on a downhill slide for the last 30 some years. And where we hear every 2 years at least, and especially every four during the presidential year elections, you know, these candidates come up and say, vote for me, I'll set you free. And, you know, we put all the support behind them, and then they get to Washington or Springfield, and then they vote against us more often than not. You know, and I think it's, Carol brought out a good point. I mean, when you look at the composition of representatives, especially in Washington, D.C., in the House and the Senate, but even here in Illinois and Springfield, you know, in the state capital, I mean, most of these people are millionaires. And I mean, if they're not millionaires, they're definitely very upper middle class and usually have a law degree. So, you know, I think this is significant, that, you know, we've been sold out many, many, many times, by a certain group of people. And, I think it's great that, you know, I think more and more working class people have got to, step up the plate and start running for office, start at the local level and then work their way up. Your thoughts?
Absolutely, David. And if you'll remember, a few years back, I tried to do that very thing. I tried to get labor unions more involved with the local party and vice versa. And one of the things was to try to get union members to run for local seats.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I was met by a great wall of resistance from some of our union leaders, which completely blew me away. It was something that I did not expect at all. And fortunately, most of those people are now gone. We have a new group, and I would like to try it again. But one difference between having someone like Carol and somebody who is extremely wealthy in office is things that we talk about are issues for as far as labor and economy and jobs. These are our everyday life.
Yes.
This is how we survive. It's not something that we talk about during campaign time to get votes. It's actually our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think people like Carol or local union members would be great to get more involvement on that level.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's why the average people don't run for office, because they know they're going to face this smear tactics and
that's a good point, Bob.
You know, ridicule. I mean, I would never want to run for office, even local office, because, you know, they would look through my closets, they'd find all kinds of skeletons.
Well, and, everybody's, you know, got skeletons, and, you know, that's always the question of who's going to, you know, where's the spotlight going to be directed by the corporate-controlled media, you know? And even if you have no skeletons, or very, very tiny ones, it's also a huge time and emotional commitment. I mean, to basically run for even an office like, you know, state rep, a little less so, but still, for even county board or city council. So, but anyway, Bob, I guess, you know, I'm going to do some quick public service announcements here, and then you got some underwriting announcements, and then we still are going to have some time to talk some more about this. So I'll start out here with some public service announcements. Sally Haslinger will give a CAS MillerCom 2014 presentation, Social Media and Social Justice, Friday, March 14th, 4 p.m. at Knight Auditorium, Spurlock Museum, 600 South Gregory, Urbana. Sally Haslinger is from the Department of Linguistics and Philosophy, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Although the women's movement and the civil rights movement achieved great gains in the 20th century, it is also true that our societies remain unjustifiably stratified. Anyway, the talk is going to be, it's an annual philosophy lecture, and if you want some more information on this, you can call the Center for Advanced Studies at 333-6729. That's 333-6729. So also today at 2 p.m. on WRFU 104.5 FM, tune in to Not Another Sports Show with fellow worker Neil Parthen. And you can also catch Not Another Sports Show on Wednesdays on Comcast Channel 6, Urbana Public Television, at 6 p.m. Also tomorrow, Sunday, and every Sunday from 4 to 5 p.m. is Labor's World View TV with host Year Truly. And this Sunday and every Sunday leading up to the election on March 18th, you can see the 30-minute interview we did with Carol Ammons, which premiered last Sunday. And just to let the listeners know that the program Labor's World View is a 60-minute program. Carol's interview is 30 minutes, and I've invited her opponent for the last 30 minutes, and that was a week and a half ago, and he still hasn't responded. He also turned down, by the way, an invitation here to the World Labor Hour radio show. So he actually responded to that one and and turned it down. The television show, he hasn't responded at all. So just to let everyone know that when you're a public access television station or a community radio station, unlike Fox News or these other corporate outlets, we have to give equal time. And I think it's a good policy. I mean, because frankly, I mean, that's the problem with corporate media is that the views don't get equal time and they're skewed, you know, towards special interests. But anyway, Bob, we have some more underwriting announcements.
Yeah, Dave, programming on the World Labor Hour is supported in part by the listeners of WEFT and by the Illinois Education Association Union. The Illinois Education Association's mission is to effect excellence and equity in public education and to be the advocacy organization for all public education employees. And programming on the World Labor Hour is supported in part by the listeners of WEFT and Decatur attorney Bill Faber, who believes that the mission of the law is the safety of the people. Bill Faber proudly supports the World Labor Hour and the Graduate Employees Organization Union, GEO, at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign strives to not only democratically represent graduate employees, but also to give solidarity and support to other unions, organizations, and workers engaged in the struggle for social justice both on and off campus. The GEO is proud to support the World Labor Hour on WEFT Community Radio. And quickly, just again mentioned AFL-CIO and Jobs with Justice when my microphone wasn't working.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
We'll still try and get that figured out here before the day's done.
Okay, very good. We're going to take a real quick music break and be right back. Okay, we're back. This is the World Labor Hour, and let's support a community station, WFT, in Champaign, Illinois. So, anyway, Richard, you know, I think I'd, since with some of our remaining time here, you know, this kind of ties in with Carol's campaign, your past experience with trying to get more rank and file union members involved in basically, you know, in local, you know, trying to help get better elected representation locally and as well participate more in the union, have more of a say in the endorsement process, which seems to have come back to haunt us here, 4 years later?
Yes, exactly. My idea was to bring labor people, labor unions, a little bit, have them get a little bit more active role in the local political parties.
And you mainly mean regular rank-and-file members?
Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, one of the things I noticed, I went to every county board and city council meeting in Urbana for almost 2 years, and at not one of those meetings did I see a single one of our labor leaders.
Also, okay, I get what you're saying. So you're saying even the labor leaders weren't
right.
actively involved as far as monitoring the – okay,
gotcha. No, okay. They were not. And, uh-huh. and so they're coming to us and telling us, let's endorse this person. Mm-hmm. Good guy, got a long record of this and that. Actually, when they were doing that, they had no idea what they were talking about.
They got this information from some other source that wasn't very... Yeah, okay, and, gotcha. And
it, so okay. At first, I discussed it at my IBU EW meeting several times.
Mm-hmm.
I discussed it at AFL-CIO Central Committee meetings, I believe, on three occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody nodded and smiled and thought it was a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the... candidates came around for support, and I asked a tough question of our state's attorney, which is, do you think that being married to a police officer creates a conflict of interest?
Okay.
She got mad, slammed her fists on the desk.
Really?
And walked out. The very next morning, I get a call from my business manager.
Mm-hmm.
I get an email from the then president of the building trades. I also got carbon copied on emails that went from the vice president of the AFL-CIO here locally, the president of the AFL-CIO, and the building trades, saying that if to the chairman of the Democratic Party, saying if you want labor to be involved, we need to say who can be involved and who can't.
In other words, the labor leaders are going to say who's going to be involved.
Right.
Okay.
And it wasn't a problem until the day after that candidate came in and spoke, and I asked her one question. Mm-hmm. I think it was a fair question.
Yeah.
She made phone calls, and whatever she's got over those people,
mm-hmm.
when she says jump, they say how high.
Wow.
The end result was I was kicked off the AFL-CIO committee.
Mm-hmm.
I actually have a letter and still have it at home saying that my involvement with the Democratic Party creates a conflict of interest with being on the AFL-CIO. Well, I could have had somebody's union card for that.
Yeah.
You cannot punish your members for being involved with any political party in the United States of America,
right.
Let alone here, I'm trying to bring labor in, mm-hmm. and they kick me off for that.
Yeah,
I've got an email from the president of the building trades telling me that we endorse people sometimes for issues other than labor.
Oh, really?
Okay, what are those?
Yeah, what are those? I'd like to know, too.
And the answer was, it's none of my damn business.
Oh, okay, so it's what they decide, you know.
So this is the kind of thing that Carroll's up against,
mm-hmm.
and the average voter doesn't see that. They mm-hmm. they look and they see this list of endorsements. Oh, well, she's endorsed by these people, or he's endorsed by these people, must be a good candidate. And sometimes that's the case. More often than not, that isn't the case.
Yes. You know what I find interesting this time around? I've seen this phenomena going back quite a few years, and I've been a victim of it myself. And, you know, your story is so similar to some of mine. But nevertheless, what I find interesting this time around is that where before a lot of rank-and-file members would say, well, there are business agents. Most of them are elected. Carpenters, they're not. And some other of the building trades unions, they're not. They're appointed. But nevertheless, they know probably what's best for us because they're the business agent and they're involved in this stuff. But this time around, I'm not seeing or hearing that. I'm seeing where the members are angry that they didn't get a chance to see both Carol and her opponent at their union meetings and have any kind of say in the endorsement process. What do you think kind of led to this time of hard knocks or what?
Well, I'm not sure. I would like to think in part that's because ever since I went through all of that, every time I talk to a building trades guy, I tell that story.
Okay.
So maybe they're not quite as trusting. Mm-hmm. Maybe they do ask questions. I've seen it on the floor at my union meetings. And our former leaders, we have a new group in there now, and I think they're pretty good guys.
Mm-hmm.
But our former leaders would get very angry when they were asked a question. I'm experiencing the same thing. I've not talked to any rank-and-file building trades members that are actually going to vote for Sam Rosenberg.
Okay. That's pretty significant, considering the business agents, except for the electricians, I understand. Now, we got to make this clear, too, is that the endorsement by the building trades was done by the past business agent of IBEW 601. And since then, there's a newly elected business agent who beat the old one by quite a significant margin. Is that correct?
Yes, he was beat by a significant margin.
Okay. So, I mean, that says a lot. And the fact that the new business agent, you know, had no part in this and that actually Carol came to your union meeting a couple weeks ago. And from what you said, it sounded like the members, you know, were fairly impressed with her.
Yes. In fact, one of our members actually invited Carol to our, we have a fundraiser for the softball team.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the people that is on the softball team actually chased her down in the hallway and invited her to come out to the softball stag. I can say in the 18 years I've been in the local, there's never been a candidate invited to a union function before this that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, great. Well, listen, Richard, thank you so much for coming in and helping us co-host the show today. And let the listeners know you've been listening to the World Labor Hour, Listeners Party Community Radio Station, WFT in Champaign, Illinois. And until next week, be safe. And power to the people. Stay tuned for The Union Edge with host Charles Showalter. Take care.
The Union Edge Talk Radio Show. Often robust, but always respectful. Standing up for your working family. You are part of...
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate it. Please follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just type in The Union Edge. And just a little bit of announcement, a little bit of internal shopkeeping. We had almost 1,000 downloads to our podcast